Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Political Brain, The Role of Emotion in Deciding the Fate of the Nation is a political psychology book by Drew Weston, a clinical psychologist and political consultant. First published in the late 2000s, it examines how voters actually make political judgments and why emotional response often outweighs policy detail, factual correction, or logical argument. Weston combines neuroscience, psychology, and campaign analysis to argue that political persuasion is less a contest of ideas than a contest of emotional framing. The book is especially focused on American electoral politics, with particular attention to why Democrats often lose ground when they rely too heavily on technocratic language and data-heavy messaging. Its purpose is both diagnostic and practical. It explains how partisan reasoning works, how campaigns shape voter perception, and what political actors must do to communicate more effectively. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, emotion, not detached logic, is the center of political judgment. Weston's core claim is that political decision-making is not primarily rational in the classical sense. People do not simply compare facts and choose the most logically consistent candidate or policy. Instead, they evaluate politics through emotionally loaded impressions that are tied to identity, values, loyalty, and threat perception. The book argues that voters usually arrive at a preferred conclusion and then search for reasons to defend it, rather than neutrally weighing evidence first. This matters because it explains why fact-checking alone often fails to change minds. If a political message does not connect with a voter's emotional expectations, the facts may be ignored, reinterpreted, or rejected. Weston uses this insight to challenge the common belief that better information automatically produces better democratic choices. In his view, political communication must recognize that the brain prefers emotionally satisfying conclusions, which means persuasion depends on resonance as much as accuracy. Secondly, the marketplace of emotions matters more than the marketplace of ideas. One of the book's most important distinctions is between a marketplace of ideas and a marketplace of emotions. Conventional political rhetoric assumes that public debate is won by presenting superior arguments, cleaner policy plans, and more careful reasoning. Weston says this is not how most voters actually respond. Candidates succeed when they activate feelings such as hope, fear, trust, anger, pride, or anxiety in ways that make a message memorable and compelling. That does not mean facts are irrelevant, but it does mean facts must be organized into emotionally meaningful narratives. The book shows why dry policy language often loses to simpler, more vivid, and more emotionally coherent framing. Weston's point is not that voters are irrational in a dismissive sense, but that political cognition is built around emotion and identity. For campaigns, this means message testing should not stop at policy correctness. It should ask whether a message creates an immediate and durable emotional response that can shape interpretation over time. Thirdly, partisan reasoning bends facts to protect identity and allegiance. A major theme of the book is motivated reasoning, the tendency to evaluate evidence in ways that protect one's partisan commitments. Weston draws on psychological and neuroscience research to show that people are especially skilled at detecting contradictions in the other side while overlooking similar problems in their own side. This asymmetry is important because it reveals that political beliefs are often defended emotionally before they are justified intellectually. Rather than changing beliefs when confronted with disconfirming evidence, people may reinterpret the evidence itself to preserve coherence with their existing identity. The book uses this dynamic to explain why political debate can become so unproductive. The same facts are filtered through different emotional loyalties, so both sides can appear to live in different realities. Weston's analysis helps readers understand why corruption, inconsistency, or failure may be forgiven when it comes from one's own party, but punished harshly when it comes from the opposing party. The result is a more realistic picture of how partisanship shapes public judgment. Fourthly, Democrats are criticized for relying on data instead of emotionally vivid framing. Weston is especially direct in his critique of Democratic messaging. He argues that Democrats too often communicate as if voters were already committed to policy analysis and procedure detail. In his view, this approach misses the emotional architecture of persuasion and allows Republicans to dominate the symbolic terrain of political meaning. The book suggests that Democrats frequently present good policies in abstract, technical, or defensive language, while their opponents frame issues in simpler moral terms that connect with fear, loyalty, and values. Weston is not saying Democrats should abandon substance, but that substance must be delivered through emotionally intelligible narratives. He repeatedly emphasizes the need for concrete language, human stakes, and vivid contrasts that help voters feel what is at issue. This criticism became influential because it reframed campaign strategy around emotional clarity rather than intellectual sophistication. The book's practical importance lies in showing that policy arguments need a narrative structure if they are to survive the competition for attention and memory. Lastly, neuroscience and campaign examples are used to turn theory into strategy. The book stands out because it does not rely only on opinion or political commentary. Weston draws on neuroscience, psychology, and campaign case studies to support his argument that its motion drives political choice. Brain imaging research and experimental findings are used to illustrate how people process political contradictions and how emotional circuits shape judgment. He also analyzes real campaign behavior to show how some messages succeed because they speak to identity and feeling rather than to abstract principle. This combination of science and political strategy gives the book a practical dimension that distinguishes it from purely theoretical works on ideology or rhetoric. It invites readers to see political communication as a discipline grounded in how minds actually work. At the same time, the book is not neutral in a detached sense. It is openly interventionist, especially in its advice to Democrats, that makes it both a scholarly diagnosis and a tactical manual. Its influence comes from translating cognitive science into advice that campaigns can use immediately. In conclusion, The Political Brain is best suited for readers interested in political communication, campaign strategy, political psychology, and the neuroscience of decision-making. It is especially valuable for consultants, candidates, students of American politics, and general readers who want to understand why factual arguments often fail in public life. The book offers a clear practical benefit. It explains how voters interpret messages emotionally and why successful persuasion depends on framing, narrative, and identity as much as on policy substance. It also has intellectual value because it challenges the assumption that democratic choice is driven mainly by rational evaluation. Compared with many books about politics, Weston's work stands out for combining scientific research with direct strategic implications. It is not just a critique of bad messaging. It is an explanation of the mental processes behind that failure. Readers who want a sharper understanding of partisan behavior, message design, and the emotional structure of electoral politics will find it especially revealing. Its enduring distinction is that it treats emotion not as a distraction from politics, but as the medium through which politics is actually understood and decided. If you would like to support Drew Weston, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.